My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But I love the work of the 33rd team and what they're building, and their draft expert and college football analyst put together a list with grades of how some of the top quarterbacks in round one fared this past weekend. Ian Valentino joins us now to discuss that on G&D. Ian, it's good to talk to you in D.C. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, guys. How are y'all?
Doing very well, buddy. Thanks for making some time for us. So let's just kind of go through the rankings first, and then we can circle back to some other rookie things. Caleb Williams got an A-. You watched the performance closely. What'd you see?
Yeah, you just saw a lot of what we saw in USC translate, like a lot of the good things, right? Like you saw the confidence. You saw somebody that didn't panic. You saw someone that wanted to execute the offense and kind of knew what he was going to do pre-snap, and then he adjusted quickly post-snap whenever things weren't necessarily maybe as expected. And I think that controlled chaos that he tends to thrive in, he's got to find that balance between executing the scheme and executing that inner playmaker. And I think he did a really nice job of it. It was only two drives, but the accuracy was there. The quick decision making was there. And it wasn't somebody that felt like the moment was too big for him and he needed to do too much. But you could definitely see like the arm talent, the accuracy, all of the things that we really loved at USC were on full display.
Right down the line, let's go Jaden Daniels. What did you see? Only a couple of passes, but one was pretty spectacular. It had the town buzzing.
Yeah. It's hard to overlook the deep throw, right? Like, that was perfect, and that's exactly why they drafted him. His deep accuracy is special, and his confidence in the pocket, he faced some pressure on that play and delivered a perfect throw downfield. And then you saw the read option, same thing. It's a matter of consistently making the right decision for him. His explosiveness is going to take him a long, long way in the league. So all he's got to do is execute the basic reads, and he's going to go pretty far just with that. And then as his career advances, he'll obviously continue to do more. But, yeah, he missed a screen pass. That might just be a little bit of a miscommunication as to where the back was supposed to be. You don't worry about those things. But you like what you saw in a couple of plays for sure.
Yeah, and that's the key, I think. You said a couple of plays. He threw the ball three times. One was the amazing dime down the field, 42-yard completion. One was an errant 600-mile-an-hour screen where he had some jitters, it seemed like, on the first throw. And then the other was a wide receiver screen that he got out to Terry McLaurin on time. But it was quite literally three reps, basically, that we're going to break down and analyze from all angles. I mean, I guess two-parter here in terms of both sample size and then just relevance to what's going to happen in the regular season. I heard Aaron Rodgers today talking about how you never see legitimate regular season coverages in the preseason from secondaries. When we look at these quarterback performances, how much should we actually take out of them?
I don't think you take too much as far as the complexity of things. Like, you want to see someone confident, but at the same time, we've seen how many quarterbacks, especially third stringers, and even Joe Milton, in this past week looked like a superstar. And we know that he's not really that guy, right? Like, it's a little bit of backyard football there. So you want to see confidence to be able to just go out there and play loose and be able to react quickly to what you're seeing. But at the same time, you can't go too far with it because I think he's right. A lot of these teams aren't really game planning. And as an offense, you're giving your quarterback a couple of things, right? You're giving him two screens and you're giving him maybe the chance to throw deep. And that's all you're really writing. And so if you have to go off of that script, yeah, maybe you're testing your guy, but it's really just to get the speed. You want to see the speed of the game. You want him to get hit so that he gets hit for the first time by an NFL defender, and then you just kind of work past that, and then you bring it back, and you're like, all right, now that we got, you know, X, Y, and Z accomplished, let's start to build off of that. So I like the mindset of we try to build and we continue to try to do positive things and stack those things, as opposed to throwing too much on a guy's plate, because at this level, it's so simple that if they really struggle, you don't want that to snowball.
Drake May, I think you graded him as a D. He was 2 for 3, 19 yards through two screens. I guess he really didn't like that incompletion.
Yeah, I tried to preface it with, you know, look, this is a tiny sample size. But that miss was exactly in college what we saw when things didn't go well for May. So for him, it's like, yeah, it's one throw. But at the same time, while it's only one throw, it's a mechanical thing for him. And it's a matter of, you can't make those throws and miss those throws when it's 5 feet over a receiver's head. It's nice that he knew where to go. It's good that he, you know, everything looks good until the throw. For him, it's just a matter of, we know this is a weakness of his. He's got to address it. It might just be like that nerves thing where you're throwing, you know, 100 miles per hour on that route, but he's got to curtail that. So it's one of those meaningless things where the next game, maybe he's almost perfect. But it is one of those things that you just kind of want to see progress over time. And it's kind of funny. Most of these rookies actually showed a little bit of their weaknesses from college, especially when they had more than three throws. But that's just how these things tend to go. But, yeah, May, it's a lot, you know, that you can't really take away from the two throws. But the third, it was more like, okay, like, I want to see you build off of that moving forward.
Ian Valentino, 3013, with us here on Grant and Danny. Let's go to J.J. McCarthy. Unfortunately, now we know, bad news. He'll be done for quite some time. But that initial preseason performance, a couple really nice throws in there, pretty prolific, the most gaudy numbers, I think, of any of the rookies. Graded a B. What'd you see?
Yeah, so he had the best and he had the worst, I think, of everyone else. Like, when he missed big. He threw a bad interception, threw it right to the defender, tried to do too much. His first miss of the, I think it was his first throw, he had a pretty bad miss as well, just put too much heat on it. And that's kind of who he is, where it either works perfectly or it doesn't work at all. Now, he recovered that next drive and had some beautiful passes where leathered that ball perfectly, put it right over a defender, dropped it into the bucket, got receivers big plays downfield, not only had a deep touchdown, but also converted a couple of plays where if you can't feather that ball and have that much control of the ball, you're not going to be a very good quarterback in the NFL. You have to be able to put that touch on the ball, manipulate that ball how you want to. It looked very clean and effortless for him. I think physically his traits looked great. He's got a great arm. There's no doubt about it. He's got mobility. So you saw a lot of the good things. I think once he calmed down and tried to play within himself a little bit more, that's going to be that balance when he does eventually get back, whether it's this year or next year. But I really liked what I saw, and I like that he bounced back. You almost want to see that in the preseason, because in the preseason the interceptions really don't matter. Even Stetson Bennett throwing four picks, you know, unless if it's something like that. Anything that's short of that, though, it's like you want to see someone face a little bit of adversity and come back. And he really had a mindset of, I don't really care what I just did, I'm just going to keep throwing these balls. And he did, and he came back and looked great.
Kirk Cousins did not play for the Falcons. They're putting him in some bubble wrap until the start of the season, perhaps. So that meant a lot of play for Michael Penix. We got a good long look at him. What did you make of Penix's pro debut?
Yeah, I only gave him a C+, but it was mainly because, to me, that means he did what I expected. He looked the part mentally. So every snap that he took, when he dropped back, he was decisive. He acted as if nothing was a surprise from the Dolphins. He knew where his guys were supposed to be, and he looked more in control, I think, than any other quarterback that we saw. So, and some of that should be expected because he's so experienced and he threw the ball so many times the last couple of years at Washington, and he had so many different looks. So it's a lot of respect to that coaching staff to put him in that position, but they went a lot of 4 and 5 wide, makes things a little bit easier for him to see. I expect Washington to kind of do the same this season with Jaden Daniels, make it easier pre-snap for him. For Penix, it was a matter of executing. So when he hits those throws, they look perfect when he hits them. But when he misses, there's something off that's causing him to miss it. And he doesn't quite have the arm that some of these other guys have to be able to maybe skip part of the process, right? Like his balance has to be great. His footwork has to be great. He has to throw in rhythm. If he doesn't do those things, he misses, and he had a couple of those misses. And so you want to see him eventually. He's going to have to get to the level where he's so consistent with those things that it doesn't matter, and almost become robotic. But that's a tough thing to do, and that takes generally several years if it ever comes at all. But good debut for him. To me, he played exactly like he did in college, which is a very good thrower of the football, not necessarily a great playmaker.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Ian, finally, if you need somebody to throw it short, I got a guy for you. His name is Bo Nix, and he is here to check it down and throw it within a handful of yards of the line of scrimmage. That's kind of what you're going to get, and I think we saw that. 15 for 21, 125 yards and a touchdown. What did you make of his performance?
Yeah, I gave him a B- in the sense of, you know, he moved the offense. He didn't take a sack. He did exactly what he did at Oregon, and that's, like you said, it's not really pushing the ball downfield. A lot of it looked worse than I think the result. So it's process versus result. He had happy feet. He's backing out of the pocket. You worry as soon as that ball comes out because where is it going to go? But then it stuck to his receiver's chest. And so it's this weird dichotomy of how do you grade guys like that? It's like, obviously we want a perfect process and generally that's going to bear better results long-term. But then, you know, you look at it and it's like, man, I'm watching Bo Nix and this guy doesn't put any confidence in me. So it's a tough position. I think that as from a coaching staff perspective, you're happy that he moved the ball downfield. They were crushed last year by sacks. Russell Wilson took so many sacks last year. For him to not take sacks, he didn't make throw an interception, although that first throw was pretty close. He did have a touchdown dropped. I would say it was a decent performance from Nix. It's one of those things where he just is who he is to a T. And so I don't know what that means for his upside. I think he is a guy who can start pretty early, but I don't know that that leads you to like an overly good quarterback. Maybe he's an average guy throughout his career. And I just think his career is going to look like this, where it's really odd in some ways, and it's going to be kind of off-putting, but the stats might look pretty good. So it almost reminds me of like a Ryan Tannehill type, where it's like, you don't really want to watch him do what he's doing, but then you look at the result and it's like, okay, you know, you'll take 65% completion rate.
Ian Valentino's with us on Grant and Danny. We just got done with week one of the preseason, and we've been discussing Jaden Daniels. Wanted to get his insight. College football, NFL draft for the 33rd team. What are your year one expectations for Daniels?
I think it's to be establishing that floor. So we know that the explosive plays are going to come, but you don't want him to be defined by those explosive plays. You want to see him make the adjustments to the speed of the league, make the adjustments to having – I mean, he's got a pretty good receiving core, I think. This is a good team. I think the offense is going to be interesting. But he doesn't have that LSU supporting cast where everyone was just around him just way better than everyone else. So it's adjusting to that. It's not doing too much. It's taking what the defense gives you. It's understanding the coverages that you're seeing. And I think the mental part for him, that's going to define his ceiling. But in year one, to me, it's about the floor, and it's about just being good. Can you be good? And then mix in those big plays along the way. And I think his week one to week 17 growth is all about the mental part, because no one should really have any questions about him physically, right? Like, he can accomplish anything on the football field he wants to do, as long as he protects his body. please protect your body this year, but also mentally get to the point where a lot of things are back of the hand type of nature and you're not really having to process that much. And then next year, hopefully introduce like a second part of the offense where it's a little bit more advanced and you're seeing growth of his game over the middle of the field and more advanced complex scheme things.
And you do so much evaluating, spend so much time, you know, trying to figure out what data is important, what bits of performance are important, you know, when you're coming up with rankings and everything like that. Just curious how you evaluate the preseason, right? It's so hard to get, you know, this inexact science where the opponent isn't trying to 100% stop you and you're trying to figure something out. Coaches are looking at various things. Lineups are inconsistent. How do you evaluate what you saw in the preseason? I mean, you could throw a grade on something, but like big picture, what does that mean in terms of, you know, somebody's career?
Yeah, I think that part is really difficult because if you don't know whether a coaching staff is really trying to put a guy in a position to succeed, or if you're trying to put them in a position where you're testing them to see what more they can do. And we don't have all the access to the practices and what they don't get to necessarily work through in practices. So I think that's the hard part that you want to see, especially now in like three games. And one of these games, you had a guy have three snaps or three passes, right? So how do you really evaluate that and what they are putting on a guy's plate, especially from a quarterback standpoint, but even from anyone's standpoint, I want to see, are they uncomfortable in the role? And what could that possibly mean for that player moving forward? Is that person just not being put into a position to succeed on purpose? Or is this more a byproduct of not being a good fit? And if it's not a good fit, you will probably see that bleed into the regular season and you'll see issues throughout the way. But in just a preseason, you know, picture, it is difficult because you're hoping that the coaching staff isn't, you can't show everything, right? Like you're not going to game plan to show everything that you have, but you're hoping that they're putting them in a spot to succeed. And if they're not succeeding and they're like, these aren't play calls that generally work for that guy and it's just not going, then you start to get a little bit of red alerts to say, okay, maybe this isn't the right fit. Maybe the player is not processing physically or mentally the way that you need to. So you're not looking for the huge performances because generally that's not going to be really helpful for the regular season. But at the same time, you can't have a guy go out there and almost look like Nix or Bo Nix. You saw that stuff and it's like, you don't want to look nervous on the field. You don't want to be questioning yourself either. So you want to see the confidence. Some of it's like, if it's like drops or interceptions, I think you can forgive those a lot easier than someone that might seem afraid of what's happening around them.
Ian Valentino is with us on G&D. Before we let you go, the prospects is one of the gigs at the 33rd team. College football and studying the game at that level is the other. We are going to the 12-team playoff this year. We've got conference realignment that's happening all over the country. Those are the main storylines. What are the tiers for the teams at the top of the college football landscape going into the season? Obviously, Georgia and Ohio State are at the top of everybody's rankings, but how do those tiers break down?
Yeah, I would start with those two. I think that is its own tier, as easy as it is to say. And then I think people are maybe, I know they're number four, so it's not like you're talking about, you know, being, you know, overlooked too much, but I think Texas might be getting a little bit underplayed because they did lose some guys to the NFL, but at the same time, they brought a lot of transfers in and their recruiting numbers are crazy over the last couple of years. I think Sarkisian's got that program in a good spot. I would put them with Oregon. I think those two are the solid second tier and that's it. Like to me, if you're looking at potential championship teams, I think it's those four teams.
Wow.
I don't necessarily see a team that's beyond that outside of like some crazy evolution.
So not Alabama, Ole Miss, Michigan, nothing like that, huh?
Nope. I think they're all in that next tier. I'd put Alabama, Ole Miss. I'm not really buying the hype fully on them yet. We got to see it from Lane Kiffin first. It's a good roster, but a lot of transfers that generally doesn't do a lot. Michigan, they're just replacing so many people. Penn State's a good team. Notre Dame, I mean, they're going to make the playoff, but do they have that? Do they have that super high level to be able to compete with these teams? I just don't think they do. I don't think they have the roster depth. I don't think they have the talent in the trenches. And that's where it all comes down to. As excited as I am for the playoff, there's so much turnover. Florida State lost so much. LSU lost so much. I mean, maybe Tennessee. Maybe that's a team, if Nico can come in, the freshman quarterback, and you know, put on his best Johnny Manziel hat and do some crazy stuff, maybe. But barring like Jalen Milroe turning into Lamar Jackson or something like that, I just don't see these teams having enough in the coaching department, because that's part of it with Nick Saban retiring. But then also, I think from a depth perception, like that has become very difficult with the transfer portal, where these teams, if you start to lose one or two, three starters, it's going to really put some of these teams at risk of losing games that they can't afford to.
Ian, great convo, man. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, be good. Ian Valentino of the 33rd team here on Grant and Danny.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.